Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The first Earth Day was exactly 50 years ago today, April 22nd, 1970. Many of us took part in what were massive rallies for the planet all across America. The focus then was on air and water pollution and encouraging people not to litter. I mean, how could you argue against that? And that is why so many people, young and old, rich and poor, college students and their professors, Republicans and Democrats, were on board. It was the start of a movement that has ebbed and flowed over time, but one that produced consequential results. One of the things that we do today that we didn't do 50 years ago is recycling. Reusing what we used to throw away started slowly and built over time. Today, in Mecklenburg and other counties, every 2 weeks, we roll out big green garbage can-sized bins filled with cardboard and plastics and other recyclable materials. But over time, questions arose about how much good recycling is really doing for Mother Earth. Is our recycling being recycled, or is much of it just ending up in a landfill? And because you can't recycle all paper products or all plastics, confusion arises from time to time about just what you can and cannot recycle. So this hour, a fresh look at recycling and answers to your questions about it. We've been asking you to send in those questions. Many already have, but there's still time for you to get in. What do you want to know about how the recycling system here works, or what goes in or what does not go in your curbside bin? You can email us right now at charlottetalks@wfae.org or get to us through Twitter at charlottetalks. To answer those questions, we've invited Jeff Smithberger to join us. He is the Director of Solid Waste Management for Mecklenburg County. Welcome back to the program. We're recycling you as a guest. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike, and thanks for having me on this morning on this 50th anniversary of Earth Day.
Yeah. You're welcome. And Beth Porter is the author of Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling System. And she's also a campaigns director at Green America. That's a national nonprofit focused on environmental sustainability. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Mike. Happy Earth Day, everyone.
You're welcome. Actually, none of us is here. We're all in our individual little cocoons, social distancing. True. So let me start with some very basic but important questions. Jeff, what can you recycle, and what should you not put in the bin?
Well, let's talk about recycling as you said it. You used the word put in the bin. There are many things that can be recycled, such as a microwave oven, but it doesn't go in the bin. So when people say what can be recycled, you can recycle a car if you choose to. However, what goes in the curbside bin is more limited to what you can recycle in front of your home. Now, if you choose to take something somewhere, such as one of our full service facilities, we can recycle lots of different things. However, curbside, really only six items that we ask folks to recycle curbside. Plastic bottles with necks. That's important because that's really the only thing plastic we want you to recycle curbside. Cardboard. Pretty much all types of cardboard, and no, you don't have to pull the tape off of it. Cans, aluminum cans or metal cans, such as soup cans. Cartons, like milk cartons, or the paper type of milk cartons that you would see that kids have at school. Of course, all types of paper, and then finally glass. And those are the main six items that we want anyone in Mecklenburg County to recycle curbside.
So let me ask you this, because we got an email about this, and I was going to put it later in the show, but you just mentioned that you can take things that you can't put in the bin to recycling centers around Mecklenburg County. And this emailer wanted to know why all of them are so out of the way. I've been to them. It took me 25 minutes just to find one of them. I'm like, gosh, why are they so far out of the way? Make them convenient. Well, put them in shopping centers.
Well, unfortunately, it takes people to man those sites, because if we don't, what happens, all kinds of nefarious folks will come and dump things that they shouldn't, such as couches and chairs and vacuum cleaners. So we try to maintain an semblance of order. It takes us about 10 acres of property to run one of our recycling facilities. And there's not a lot of locations that are around. We are in the process of trying to acquire an additional 10 and a half acres of property down in the Seal Creek area of Mecklenburg County. Right now we have 4 full service facilities, and they're located sort of on the periphery of the compass points of Mecklenburg County. So it takes a lot of ground, and you know, sorry that they're not easier accessed, but we feel that we have to have the locations and the size of the sites in order to serve the public in an efficient manner.
So before we get to Beth, I want to stick with Mecklenburg County for just a couple of seconds, because these rules change from wherever you're living. They're different. Does recycling work? Does the recycling that we do here in this county work? In other words, Elise wants to know, does what we recycle get reused and repurposed, or does some of it, or most of it, or big portions of it end up in a landfill?
Well, that's something I'd love to address with you and your listeners this morning. If you recycle the correct items, they will correctly get recycled. However, if you try to recycle things that are not acceptable in our program, they will get thrown away as trash. And that costs us a lot of money, because we have to pay a service provider to separate the materials out, and we pay on a per ton basis. And so if we have materials, things that are like wicker baskets or vacuum cleaners or golf clubs, clothing. These are all things that we have seen come through our plant in the last couple of weeks, because as locations such as Salvation Armies and Goodwills have closed down, because those places are not accepting traditional things that people think as reuse, people confuse the reuse sector with recycling. And they try to put the golf clubs and the vacuum cleaner in their curbside recycling carts, because many don't understand the differences or the nuances on what can be accepted and where it can go. But I can assure you, Mike, and listeners, that things that you send us that are correct, like plastic bottles and jugs and aluminum cans, we separate those out. They are all going to domestic markets here in the United States. They are no longer from Mecklenburg County being shipped overseas.
So Beth has been nodding vigorously during what you're saying, and
Beth,
I know
makes
Beth
a lot of great points.
Yeah, well, I know that this varies from area to area across the United States. How many communities, how much of America is involved, do you know, in recycling?
Yeah, I believe we're at about, I want to say, 80%, between 70% and 80% of communities have access to recycling. A lot of those are curbside programs, exactly what Jeff was explaining and what you all have in Mecklenburg County. And the majority of those practice what's called single stream recycling, where we put all of our recyclables in one bin rather than sort them out separately into paper, plastic, metal, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's kind of incredible how the recycling system has grown since Earth Day in 1970.
Is it better to put recycling in individual bins? In other words, have a bin for glass, a bin for cans, a bin for cardboard, or is it better just to do what we do, just throw it all in one location?
I will say that looking globally, a lot of the recycling programs that see really high recycling rates, which means the percentage of materials in all of our municipal solid waste that gets recycled, do practice multi-sorting, so sorting out those materials. So there are a lot of success stories with what we would call dual or multi-stream recycling. However, I know that single-stream recycling programs have worked really hard over the years to innovate and really try and invest in those programs so that we have better infrastructure to sort materials correctly and keep those going. But there is a downside of single-stream, which is when sometimes people use it like a second garbage can. So they kind of think of it as, oh, put it all in one, I'll put in everything. So like what Jeff was saying, it's seeing it as this sort of like magical bin that can take and transform anything you put in there. But it's really important that we start sharing and helping people understand what's going on the other side of the bin, which is why education campaigns are so critical.
So the whole reason we do this is to reduce waste and be kinder to Mother Earth. Is it working? Over the years, have we done that, Beth?
Yes. I think in many ways we have. So a lot of people associate recycling as sort of a better alternative to landfilling or incineration, which is absolutely true. It's a better place to send our materials. But a big key and where we see huge environmental benefits is actually using those materials to drive down resource extraction. Mm. So we're using recyclable materials to reduce our needs for things like deforestation and mining and what we would call virgin material extraction. And that's where we see a lot of reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. So it's better for the climate. And also when manufacturers use recycled materials, it actually drives down the energy use needed in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of benefits to using recycled materials. However, the United States is still at a 35% recycling rate. So we have a long way to go, a lot to improve. But there are a lot of success stories, as I mentioned, all across the U.S.
And you say we've been stuck at that 35% rate for decades. Why? Because we can't get beyond certain materials that we do, or Americans won't participate? That some of them, in spite of the fact that they have recycling, they're just going to throw it in the trash? What's the culprit here?
I have talked with a lot of landfill operators who say that they guess around 75% of what they receive at landfills could have been recycled. So I do think there is still a gap of folks participating as actively as they could in their recycling programs. So that's one. But a big part of that is confusion. People don't know how to recycle. They don't know what to recycle. The waste stream has been changing for many years. Recycling programs that were launched in the 80s and 90s, we have a different set of materials now going through our waste stream, which, as Jeff pointed out, it can be a challenge. So we've got these complex mixed plastics coming in, recycling streams that aren't set up to process those, that have to be rerouted to landfill in many cases.
Beth just mentioned people being confused, and it's in her book. One of the things she says in the book is that confusion about what we can and cannot recycle makes some people just throw up their hands and toss it in the trash. Jeff, it's also true that we seem to change the rules in Mecklenburg County of what can and cannot be recycled. So why did the rules change, and why, when they change, how difficult is it to get the word out?
Well, I don't think our rules have changed that much, Mike. We've tried to get clarity on the different types of plastics. And one of the problems that we have is that we're not responsible for what manufacturers put products in. And the problem that we have is that with the single stream recycling, we have to try to separate materials out. And then once we separate them out, we have to find a home to sell those recyclables to. Because if there's no one that wants to buy them in the end-use market, then we have no ability to get rid of them. And part of the problem that manufacturers have done is they have changed the type of plastics that we have in our marketplace now. So if you go to the grocery store to try to buy something, and I'll use yogurt as the example, it's very difficult to find yogurt in a container that can be recycled. And that's not the consumer's fault. That's the manufacturer's fault, because they have given you a product in a way, in a manner and fashion that we on the recycling side have no hope in being able to recycle. And that's done from a number of reasons. For their perspective, it's cheaper to manufacture it in a different type of container. It's lighter to ship, but had they made their yogurt container in something that's made out of high density polyethylene rather than a linear low density polyethylene, there are myriad numbers of chemical mixes, and there are very...
And let me stop you there, Jeff. We have to take a break. Jeff is Director of Solid Waste Management at Mecklenburg County. We're coming right back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about recycling on this 50th anniversary of Earth Day. Jeff Smithberger is Director of Solid Waste Management in Mecklenburg County. Beth Porter is the author of Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling System, and she's a campaigns director for Green America. We're going to take a lot of your questions in this segment. They've come in over the last several days. They're coming in right now, and we'll get answers to those questions pretty quickly. But Jeff, in the last segment, Beth, made an interesting point that I was going to get to later. We might as well get to it now, that a lot of the onus of recycling has fallen on us, on consumers and homeowners and apartment dwellers, to put stuff in the right bins at the right time and the right things. Whereas yogurt's a good example. These yogurt cups that are plastic can't be recycled. It's the wrong kind of plastic. Have any regulations, any encouragement ever? Why not shift the onus to manufacturers, to the people who make the stuff?
Well, there is
no Beth. I want to get an answer from Beth. I'm sorry, Beth.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. We're both being too polite. No, Jeff makes a good point. I mean, it really is about what manufacturers choose to use and what the brands are choosing to use, how they design their products, and not incorporating not only recyclability, so thinking about the end of life of these products has not been a practice for many companies for a long time, but also using recycled content. So really trying to help close that loop.
Would it be more expensive then for manufacturers to do this? Because one of the things, I bought something yesterday, 2 days ago, that came in that really difficult to cut with a pair of scissors cardboard, and then it had this plastic shell around the product so you could see it in the cardboard. It makes it more difficult for people to walk out of the store without paying for it. That's essentially what it does. But the cardboard can be recycled. The plastic cannot. Mm. Why, do they do it that way because it's cheaper for them to do it that way? Or could they do it another way that we could throw the whole thing in the recycling bin?
I think in many cases, cost is an issue. But there have been there's been a history of support of using virgin materials, and mm-hmm. because our recyclables are tied to markets, for example, when oil prices are low, it's very cheap to use brand new plastic rather than buy recycled plastic. And so it's kind of created a bit of an uneven playing field, I would say, between recycled content products and virgin content products. But I will say that in the last few years, as we've seen a lot more awareness about plastic pollution in the ocean, consumers are recognizing this, that the onus has been on the individual for too long and kind of looking at the end of the system. And they're really working to make sure that companies are better held accountable by emailing companies, tagging them on social media, encouraging them to have more accountability for the waste that their products and packaging generate.
So let's get to some questions that people have been sending in while we've been talking in the last several days. Jeff, Sarah from our website asks, what are Charlottians bad about recycling? What would waste management love for us to know and change? And how much waste ends up in our landfills that we think is going to recycling?
Well, before the pandemic hit, Mike, we had typically about 20% of the things that typical folks in Mecklenburg County, including the city of Charlotte, would put in their bins that would not be recyclable. And so that 20% has now, after the pandemic, grown to almost 28 to 30%, because as the Goodwills and the Salvation Armies have closed down, people are putting lots of things that they should not be putting in their curbside carts. And so when they put things that are disallowed in the system, those things do go to the landfill, and they do cost us extra money to sort them out and then to pay for them to go to the landfill. So mm-hmm. we understand that people want to recycle. We get that. But we're asking folks to go to our website, because I haven't mentioned that yet, but we have a robust website here in Mecklenburg County that will tell you what you can and cannot recycle in your curbside cart. If you wish to recycle a lead acid battery, you have to take that to one of our full service centers. So as I said before, some things go in the cart, some things go elsewhere. But wipeoutwaste.com is Mecklenburg County's website. And we have a welcome to the 50th anniversary of Earth Day when you look at our site. But we're also asking some very specific things right now that I want to get out this morning, that during the pandemic, if there is someone who is sick with COVID at your facility or your home, to please not recycle from that. Most of our recycling is sorted by hand. There are people that pick things out of a moving conveyor belt. We do not want them to be exposed to any viruses or other sicknesses that may be in your household. So please help us out during the pandemic by choosing not to recycle if you're under quarantine at your home.
Okay, let's do a little speed round here and get some very quick answers, some very interesting and I think needed to be answered questions. Mr. Gray on Twitter, is it true that recyclables put inside a garbage bag get sent to the landfill rather than being recycled? True or false?
Many times that's true because the equipment and the sorters don't have time to break that garbage bag open. We do not want people to use plastic bags. Do not smother your recycling.
And that's the other thing. Grocery stores can recycle grocery store plastic bags. You cannot. Why not?
The machinery that we use is different. If you just have plastic bags, they go off to a separate plastic processing facility. Our equipment is designed to try to remove plastics and metals and cardboard. It has a lot of rotating equipment, and the plastic bags get wrapped around the rotating equipment, blind the machinery over, and it doesn't work anymore.
There are some areas in the country, Beth, that have banned plastic bags for that very reason and for the fact, I guess, that they just get tossed into the wind and the wind takes them to rivers and streams and then out to the ocean, and that causes all kinds of problems. What is it that grocery stores, Beth, do with these bags if they can recycle them and we can't?
Well, it depends on the grocery store. I know many stores that previously were exporting plastic bags overseas. With disruptions in our international markets, some have actually suspended taking back plastic bags. So I would encourage folks before they take bags to their store to check out, I believe it's plasticfilmrecycling.org. And so you can see what all can be recycled. Sometimes that includes newspaper bags, dry cleaner bags, things like that, and where you can take them. But as Jeff mentioned, other stores that still have an EnviroCan sell to a plastics processing facility. And those can often be made into a lot of different equipment, playground equipment. Sometimes it's used in construction and different activities like that. So there's a lot of potential for those plastic bags, but can't emphasize enough the importance of using reusable bags as much as you can and driving down the need for single-use plastics in general.
So Nick emails, have you dealt with an extreme uptick in cardboard boxes because so many residents are using mail delivery services like Amazon Prime, especially during this crisis, Jeff?
Yes, we have. It's interesting to see how our cardboard has increased because of a lot of the home deliveries. But we actually started experiencing that about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so it hasn't dramatically ticked up, but it is quite apparent in our system that it has. One thing I do want to also recommend to folks is to not try to recycle those plastic pouches that things come in from service delivery companies, because the plastic pouches do cause us a lot of problem in the recycling side.
Okay. Egan on Facebook, Seattle is a similar size city, and they have managed to build recycling and waste management centers within the city limits. Why can't Charlotte do the same? Seattle also does food waste collection. What happened to the Charlotte program that was piloted?
The city of Charlotte was doing the food waste composting process where they were going around to the homes. It's really a matter of cost at this point. It does cost us money and the city of Charlotte money to collect these things curbside. We found, and the city of Charlotte found, that they could do it. However, there's a cost component and it has to get borne in with the rest of the costs and expenses that happen within a city or a municipality.
Do we make money in Mecklenburg County on recycling, or do we lose money on it?
We do not. We do not make
money. Do we lose money?
Well, if you don't make money, that's the only alternative, Mike. But we try to break even. But what we do is we defer landfilling. And I don't think there's probably any listener in that's in Mecklenburg County right now that wants us to build another landfill.
Yeah.
And what recycling does is it allows us to use less landfill space, because everything that we throw away goes to a landfill somewhere.
Some of the confusion, I think, Beth, surrounding plastic, may be from the fact that if you get a plastic bottle, a container, on the bottom of that container is a little triangle, recycling symbol triangle, with a number in the middle of it, 2, 3, 5, whatever it may be. And people can't keep straight what numbers can be recycled and what numbers cannot be recycled. Why do they even bother with that? Why can't they just put recyclable or not recyclable on the bottom of the container?
Yeah, you touch on a really important point, which is clear labeling and how much we need that on products. The number you're talking about is really just a plastic resin identification number. And so that's a way to communicate to whether they be recyclers or, you know, any industry operating at the end of life, what that type of plastic is. But as you mentioned, some of those plastics can be recycled, like ones and twos are generally recycled in most recycling programs. But you get higher up there, you get 5, 6, 7. That includes things like styrofoam and other items that can't go through our recycling system. So it's really confusing for consumers that this number lives in the little recycling symbol. Mm-hmm. So there has been some moves around federal policy to really try to address that and to try to create a bit more of a standardized approach to labeling and try to prevent this very confusing, and I would argue sometimes a bit misleading, labeling on plastic items to help clean out the recycling system and address that confusion. So again, going back to the manufacturers and really trying to encourage better use of labeling. There are labels called the How to Recycle label. Some folks mm-hmm. might have seen those on products, and they've really taken a different approach, which is showing whether it's recyclable or not recyclable, listing what the item is, and then explaining if it's widely recyclable or if you need to check your local listing, because as we mentioned, the guidelines can change region to region. So these labels are a great alternative that I've seen a lot of companies have started to use, but it would be great to see more folks using them.
So Martha wants to know, Jeff, where our recycling goes. Once you sort through it and you accept it and not throw it away, where does it go from there?
Well, it goes different places, Mike and Martha. If you have aluminum cans, they go to an aluminum can smelting facility that's in Georgia. If we have paper, it goes down to South Carolina to a paper plant. And those markets change based upon what's happening in an individual market. When consumer demand requires more toilet paper or more napkins, the folks that make those products at different plants will ramp up their production or slow down their production. So we are not static in the fact that we send everything to one place. We have trucks that leave our facility that go to 30 different places a month where we broker recyclables. Recyclables are traded like commodities. Hmm. And so when one demand for a product goes up and another demand goes down, we in the recycling business react to that and send our materials to a different place.
And Timothy emails, the list for Mecklenburg County says you cannot recycle plastic clam shell containers. Those are things you buy lettuce and strawberries in and blueberries and even salad bar containers when they had salad bars before the COVID-19 outbreak. Should you throw those in the trash, or can they be recycled if the food inside has been washed out?
They cannot be recycled curbside in our system.
Okay.
They could be repurposed at the home for another point. I hesitate to tell people to throw them away because they might have another use for it. Bake cookies and give it to a friend or a neighbor at this point. Put those cookies in that container. But at some point in time, that container will wind up in a landfill. Those types of plastics, unfortunately, are not recyclable in our system.
And Melinda on Twitter said, I didn't realize food containers were not recyclable. I think a few examples that highlight what most well-intentioned people get wrong would be extremely beneficial. So that's a good question. What do people get wrong that you see every day?
The biggest thing would likely be the food containers, those blueberry containers and those type of things. Another one that really confuses people are metal and plastic coat hangers. Those coat hangers really mess up our system. Now, metal is recyclable. You can bring it to a county facility where we just recycle metal only. However, it does not go in the curbside bin. Anything that's a tangler, like a cord or a wire hanger, doesn't go in. Shredded paper doesn't go in. While it's a paper because it's too small and it falls through the screens in our system and gets contaminated in with the glass that falls through. So there are many nuances, and we explain many of those. We have a webinar that will be going on today at noon. We have been doing those with our partner and consultant Actually Done to try to get the message out to Mecklenburg County residents. And if anyone's interested about really drilling down, please check out our Facebook page at Waste Reduction in Mecklenburg County. And log on to our free webinar today at noon.
We have a lot of people, Beth, who move here from other parts of the country, at least before the COVID-19 outbreak. It was an enormous number of people every single day moving in here. And regulations in every part of the country are different. So it may be that in one part of the country, a clamshell salad bar food container can be recycled. Can it be in most parts of the country? Are we an outlier here in Mecklenburg County?
No, not in most parts of the country, unfortunately. For example, I live in D.C., and mm-hmm. they are accepted in our program. Some larger cities take them, but I've also been to communities that were taking the clamshell containers, but they were often just way too contaminated. People would leave blueberries in them, you know, like actually just leaving a lot of residue.
Contamination has become a big concern, and we're not just talking about food in the recycled, even in some recycled materials that I think we now take pizza boxes. Is that right, Jeff? We didn't used to take them. Now we do. Is that right?
We do, but people give us pizza boxes still with pizza in them.
Okay, so you have to get the food. You got to get the food out, but pizza boxes can have pieces of cheese and spaghetti sauce and all that kind of stuff left in them. That's contamination, but there's another kind of contamination, I guess, that China objected to. They used to take a lot of our recycled material, Beth, and they've kind of backed off that because they look at a load coming in and they say, nope, not taking it, it's contaminated. What does that mean? Quickly.
Right. So, yeah, contamination can come in a couple of different ways, and one is if something is, you know, a half-full bottle of ketchup or something like that. That's a pretty contaminated item. That also causes a lot of problems in our single stream system when you put items covered in food or beverage next to clean cardboard. That can be an issue. But the issue with China is that we used to be exporting about a quarter of our recyclables, but China was just getting far too much contaminated items, and they put out some really strict limits that caused a lot of disruptions.
And we'll talk some more about that as we go through here. Beth Porter is the author of Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine. We're coming right back on Charlotte Talks. We're getting your questions about recycling answered today on Charlotte Talks. Jeff Smithberger is here. He's the Director of Solid Waste Management for Mecklenburg County. Beth Porter is the author of Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling System, and the Campaigns Director for Green America. I want to get back to China for just a second because they were one of the large recipients of our recycled material in this country, and they began to complain about how they were receiving contaminated materials, and they stopped doing it. So where does it go now? If they've shut us out, Beth, where does America send its stuff, and why? Why can't we do it here?
Yeah, so this policy was enacted, I think, maybe 2 years ago now. So at first, many programs, and I can't speak for all programs, tried to find different end users in other countries, so other Asian countries typically, but then got a lot of pushback on contamination from many of those areas as well. So there was this kind of huge issue and a big disruption in our recycling system because of this international market issue. But it brought this really important opportunity to look at our domestic recycling system and see that because we had become pretty reliant in many ways on these end buyers in other parts of the world, we kind of neglected investing in our own infrastructure for many years. So there are a lot of programs that might not be able to sort products as effectively as some others, and also the issue of just needing end users and manufacturers to buy recycled materials from domestic sources.
Well, if the goal of recycling, if one of the goals is to be friendlier to the environment, how can it be friendlier to the environment to take a Pepsi bottle that I put in my recycling here in Mecklenburg County and ship it thousands and thousands and thousands of miles to China to have it turned into carpet fiber? How can that be good for the earth?
Right. I completely understand. I think in many ways, there were shipments coming in of goods from China because of a lot of our products are made in China. And then those empty vessels would be going back. So folks began filling those with recycled bales to send back to China. But I completely agree, you know, trying to ramp up our domestic infrastructure and really be able to do more of that in the U.S. Is not only it's not only better for reducing emissions associated with travel and seeing more environmental benefit from our recycling, but it's also better economically. We have a lot more ability to keep those materials in the U.S. and support U.S. manufacturers to use them.
So let's get back to the pizza boxes, because we have a question from a listener about pizza boxes. Because, you know, particularly right now, people are going through a lot of pizza boxes. And they are. They do have, I guess, pizza waste in them, including grease. Can you recycle in Mecklenburg County, Jeff, pizza boxes that have grease stains in them? Or do they have to be pristine?
We will accept them with a little bit of grease stains, but primarily it's the food material. If it's got cheese melted all over it, it causes us problems with vectors and flies and bugs and critters and things like that. So the grease is a little bit more tolerable, but if the bottom of your pizza is coated in grease, you should likely be going somewhere else to get your pizza, because that's not healthy for you, Mike.
All right. For recycling to be earth friendly, it has to work in several ways to help the planet. And Melanie emails one. She has several questions. One, is it not environmentally unfriendly to wash out jars and cans before we send them to the recycling? I mean, you're using all this water to wash them out. So where does the scale tip? Is it better to do that and then send them off to recycling, or just throw them away and save the water?
Well, we have a very robust water treatment system. So if you're putting the strawberry jam or the little bit of leftover milk that was in a container down the drain, that is okay with the wastewater system. We are intolerant of accepting any contaminants with things that come in to be recycled. We have to have materials clean, loose, and dry. Those are our requirements. Mm-hmm. So the cleaner you can get something, the better it is able to be recycled.
And you said that bottles are, all plastic bottles can be recycled, but they have to have a neck on them. So mayonnaise jars, do they have a neck on them?
They do not. Not so the way we're asking for. And so primarily, getting back to mayonnaise jars and jelly jars and things like that, those generally do not have a neck and they generally do not fit our criteria. However, if a listener chooses to make sure it is perfectly clean, we will tell them to put it in our system. Like, one of the problems that we have is that we do not go by the REC system, the resin information code that's on the bottom. In Mecklenburg County, we tell people not to follow that for the same reasons that Beth enumerated before. Sometimes those codes aren't accurate. We tell people plastic bottles only with necks, very visually identifiable, generally very clean. 2-liter soda bottles, empty. The Pepsi, the Coke, whatever, empty. We'll take those. But the other types of things that are yogurt containers and mayonnaise jars, those generally do not have a neck that's pourable. We do not want those in our system.
Right. So mustard jars wouldn't qualify either. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the mustard jar looks like.
All right. And if you have a ketchup bottle with a neck, you want it to be clean. It's sometimes difficult to get all the ketchup out, and it's also difficult to see because they're now making them ketchup colored. You can't see through the bottles. Are they recyclable?
Again, a manufacturer issue. Right. If it is clean, we will take it. but it must be clean. They've got to figure out how to take the top off and wash it out.
And Melanie has a second question. She wants to know if any tracking is being done, any fines being levied on people who you see routinely throw anything and everything into the recycling bin, and then you have to deal with it.
What we are doing is the city of Charlotte has had a cart tagging program. It's been suspended because of the COVID situation that we're in right now, but the cart tagging system is trying to educate folks. We have been more on educational rather than fining. There have been some jurisdictions in California that do fine, but we have not gone that far here in Mecklenburg County.
And how can you tell? Because you have these big trucks that just come around and they grip the thing and empty it into the back and put it back down. How can you tell?
Well, the cart tagging program, people would go through and check inside the bins before the big truck came through.
I see.
I live in the little town of Mint Hill, and I was out on a walk this week with my wife before collection day and noticed about 38 out of 50 homes were incorrectly recycling. That was just my random sample because I was out trying to get some exercise.
So listener emails, could Beth talk a little bit more about the notions of reducing and reusing as opposed to recycling? Which is more beneficial?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they go in the order of reduce, reuse, recycle for a very good reason. That follows the amount of environmental benefit we get from these actions. And we notice that recycle is third. It's last for a reason. It's certainly better and more important than using landfill or incineration, which are way further down the line in terms of environmental benefit. But I think that we kind of lose sight of the reduce and reuse piece of this. And it's really important that we expand to bring them back into our practices, both in our homes, but then companies as well, trying to reduce waste all along the entire system. So recycling is valuable. There are a lot of environmental benefits, which I talk about a lot, but it does have an impact. It's a process. You know, there's a lot of steps to it, whereas reducing waste kind of stops waste before it starts. So when we try to think about, do we actually need something and try and consume more mindfully, I would say, in many ways, that's a big piece of it too. Reusing items, the sort of like Jeff was saying earlier with the containers that can't go into recycling, find a way to reuse or repurpose items and really kind of, quote, shop our homes and see what we already have and what we can use. And then, of course, recycling, which is by far a more responsible way to manage our materials than burning them or burying them. And, of course, we need those materials to make new products. So recycling is really an important piece of a more circular management of materials. But we cannot lose sight of the reduce and reuse parts as well.
So 7 minutes left. Lightning round begins right now. Here we go. As many questions and answers as we can fit in the time allowed. I have a question here from Linda, who wants to know about batteries and light bulbs. Can batteries, like the little things you put in flashlights or your remote controls, can they be put in the recycling bin, or do they have to be recycled in a different way, Jeff?
Absolutely not. Never put batteries in the curbside bin. They cause us fires at our recycling processing facilities. We have household hazardous waste centers that are open 6 days a week. Wipeoutwaste.com. We'll tell them where they're at.
Okay. The other question she had was about light bulbs. Can light bulbs be recycled? And if so, what kinds of light bulbs?
Nope. Not in the curbside bin. Sorry.
Okay. Bill wants to know, what do I do with the 100 plus VHS tapes I've found in a box in my parents' house? Any way to recycle them whole or in pieces? And the same question for audio tapes and CDs and other media, like, you know, I guess CDs and DVDs.
No, not Mike, in our system, VHS tapes, when they go through our system, are a tangler because the tape comes out and wraps around all of our equipment machinery. It's a terrible nuisance. We do not have a recycling use for them, but they could be repurposed into other uses. I know that there are some places that have gotten back into the markets of dealing with VHS and old CDs and things of that nature. Try to repurpose, not recycle.
Okay. And you may have already answered this, but I guess it bears repeating because it's about food containers in Charlotte. Are there facilities, if you can't put them in the recycling bin, are there facilities where they can be taken that perhaps would be beneficial?
Yes, there is in Mecklenburg County in the city of Charlotte. There's a group called Crowntown Composting, and Crowntown will accept your food material products for composting. Mecklenburg County has a yard waste composting facility, but we are not permitted or not allowed by the state to accept food at our facility. But there is an avenue for those residents who want to do that here locally to do that.
How difficult, Beth, would it be to standardize all of this stuff from community to community across America, where we would know that this is always recyclable, this is never recyclable, no matter where we live?
That would be a big change, certainly. I think what's maybe more, there's more potential for standardizing the way we talk about recycling and really the way we communicate rules and education. And so, like I mentioned, the labeling component on products, trying to help us all recycle more correctly, and then, you know, infusing that into the manufacturing process as well. So I would say that is a more achievable, but also big change that we should take on in order to make sure that folks are getting the right information and able to participate in recycling correctly. You know, really clear labeling on public recycling bins when we go back to public spaces and things like that. That can be really helpful in making sure that there's a clear message across all of these programs, even if they are taking slightly different materials depending on where you are.
I have two questions about the same dirty topic, styrofoam. What about styrofoam? Is it, Kathy wants to know, is it recyclable or can it be repurposed? She said, I remember McDonald's used to make playground equipment and ground padding from styrofoam. And Erica says, grocery stores take styrofoam egg containers for their recycling programs. Does this include styrofoam drink cups and other clean number 6 plastic? So there's a lot of questions about styrofoam. Jeff.
Styrofoam is not acceptable in our program. There are some programs and some locations that can take it. The biggest problem with styrofoam is how it's handled and how it reacts with our equipment. Styrofoam is best collected completely separately, not with anything else, because it breaks off and it tends to contaminate other materials that it comes in contact with. It is not something that we recycle curbside in Mecklenburg County. And there are a few places in grocery stores that will accept it because of how they're separating their materials by themselves. But for the most part, the Chick-fil-A cups that are styrofoam and other fast food places are not recyclable.
Erica also wants to know about body care product containers. She says, I may not use the entirety of the product. What do I do with the contents of the bottle so I can recycle the container? You just put that down the drain? What do you do with that?
I'm not sure what the product is.
Okay.
But generally, if you're putting, you know, like I'll use shampoo, for example. If you're putting shampoo on your hair, it is generally going down the drain to start with. So something like that would likely be okay to put down the drain or find another use to, you know, hey, maybe wash your car with the Head and Shoulders. I don't know. Yeah. But we definitely cannot take it in our recycling right. system because we need things clean, dry, empty.
So Jefferson on Twitter says, people who are inclined to recycle find all the rules confusing. How is there a real expectation that non-recyclers will comply? And you have made things pretty darn easy in Mecklenburg County. You alluded to this at the very beginning, but it bears repeating, Jeff. Mecklenburg County says you can only place 6 different things in the bin. Plastic bottles and jugs with necks, cardboard, cans, cartons like milk cartons, paper, and glass bottles. So, if you can put cans, what about those combination cardboard metal cans? They have metal ends, but the cardboard is in between. What about those? Very quickly.
Generally, no.
Should we be optimistic about the future of this in 15 seconds or less, Beth?
I was just going to say, if the manufacturers can help, yes.
Okay, Beth?
Yeah, Jeff touches on the point. I think when we think about recycling as a system, everyone has a role and those roles are different. And we need everyone to participate in the roles that they have, including manufacturers.
So Beth Porter is author and the author of Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling System and a Campaigns Director for Green America. And Jeff Smithberger, Director of Solid Waste Management of Mecklenburg County, will put their website on our website. So if you want any of your questions answered about recycling, you will find it at WFAE.org. Thank you all for the hour. Be safe. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.